Now, you said, John, that your appointment as schools liaison officer was very good for your pension.
Well, I said the pension bit is that, of course, it made it up because I became a civil servant. I was ever called, officially required retired officer status. I was actually civil servant and I got a civil service pension. Civil servants look after themselves very well, I'm sure you would appreciate it. And I had the job for 10 years. And the actual job itself was marvellous. I knew a lot of the schools that I went to, and I had sons and I had brothers in the Navy whose cousins, I mean, not real brothers, but friends in the Navy who had children at public schools, and I became a sort of an official advisor to where to send your son, because I knew the schools.
To what extent did you visit state schools at that time? Question one. And question two is, to what extent did you visit girls' schools, or was the tremendous concentration and attention paid to women in the services today, that did not exist in 1970, in the early 70s?
I had girls' schools to visit, including Telford, where my son and my sister had been.
Including where?
Cheltenham. Cheltenham's Ladies College,
yes,
it's called.
Yes, CLC.
Where my assistant had been. And also, one of the schools had a lot of girls in them. I'm sorry, I can't remember the details, but they had their sixth forms were full of girls as well as boys. But I think the most important question you should ask is whether I did in what I'd call state schools. Well, I wasn't really conscious. I knew the independent side because we had a lifelong list. And I was actually charged to deal with the independence. But when I appeared on the scene, and I was the first one, you see, there were two others appointed recently, quite often, but in different areas of England. So I was conscious that I was looking after. But in amongst of this came one or two ex-grammar schools. And I can remember one of them was Northampton. And this school is now in the comprehensive system. And I liked it very much, came there. And there was one in Cambridge. I'm sorry if I've forgotten its name. But I think they only had two comprehensives. And I really liked going there. Apart from anything else, the clearance master had never seen a naval officer in his life. So I always made a point of going there in uniform, which I was allowed to do with. And I had lunch in the hall with the boys and things like that. So I created that sort of realization that the Navy was there to do something for them. When I finished the job.
In about 1980?
Exactly, yes. I wrote what the Navy, you would call a hold-down report. Admiral used to do it when they hold their flags up on the hull's coverage and what I thought it could be strengthened or whatever. And I sent this to the creator of my own school and said, look, these are my experiences. Would you like to have a go? Because it's forming my report. And he said, the only difference was, he either wrote it on terms I used to be at the school, I had a son there anyway, said, was my description. That it was only the boys, all the boys wanted out of the Navy, was a free passage through university. And therefore, there was an obligation to see such claim they wanted to clear in the Navy, to make quite sure that they had to understand they got to be a naval officer first. Well, he corrected and said, no, it's not the boys, it's the parents. He said, I promise you, the parents way above all the others. And the school, of course, is delighted to in a place like Treasury, where you were geared to go to university. And they're delighted that somebody else pays, but he said it's the parents who want the career passage through the university. It's the school who will support that. And it's you who've got to make the boy interested. I said, because they'll hit that at the Admiralty interview board. And I gradually got all my careers lost. I had about 60 schools. I got them to the Admiralty Interview Board to sit in on it. So that was the interest there. And the two national schools, as we call them, they were fascinated at this, these systems, how well we did them and how careful we were as the boys. We tried it, and there was a headmaster's meeting at Dartmouth every 2 or 3 years. You wouldn't know that. And I had to send to the captain at Dartmouth the headmaster that I think ought to be invited. So we had down, and I got an invitation myself as well. So you had, I mean, like 150 headmasters all together in Dartmouth. And I said, well, there, it's over to you. And I called down there and said what my message was. The same one. Now, what do they want to go to university for? And the sequence was, in my experience, or I learned, was A, the parents, second, the school, and third, the boy, who had to be trained to be a naval officer even at my level. And they got marvelous presentations at Dartmouth. And I know they were being friendly to me, and they said if I was the right age, I'd come on. There's aspects of my job of being seen in schools, there's an officer, and hearing the school and boys' reaction. Was I being of some use to the Royal Navy to know what to do? And any strong candidates that I had, I got them down to Dartmouth for a day with the secretary, captain of Dartmouth, who arranged these visits for people who wanted to go into the
Yes. One final thing, I think, and then I think we might finish. Well, two final things. One is that you omitted mentioning your OBE, which you got for selling some ships to Thailand. I wouldn't like that to be overlooked. I know that modesty on your part may have caused you to do that, but I felt that that's something that should have been mentioned.
Yes.
The
very kind of you. I can answer the question. It was my son in a speech at our wedding anniversary said it was because of the 3 years I did in in Bangkok. I mean, so I must have been promoted by my ambassador. And that's what my son. Nothing to do with senior schools in his office. But I also think it was the accumulation of many years' service as well. Did that answer that?
It does, thank you, yes. And my other question is the other point I was just going to ask, and we might use this as a final question, which we can end our session. When you look at the Navy today, with women on board ship, both lower deck and officers. Do you get the feeling that the Navy today is a more professional service than the one in which you served? Or are you able to suggest whether the Navy might be a better service to serve in than when you were serving? And do you think that the impact that we have, that our politicians keep on imposing on us, imposing on the services, to have women almost in the front line, if not in the front line as they are in the Navy, do you think that is a good thing?
I won't do it specific to start with, but overall, I think the naval service is still absolutely marvellous, so you obviously would accept from that that I thought it was pretty good at the time. And I think it is better now, because I haven't been to Dartmouth recently. I have been to the Ableton Naval Air Station down here for one or two of their ceremonies, and I thought the young officers were extremely good and looked good. I always thought I was a bit cutting myself, but it didn't matter because the war was on, sort of thing. And I thought, there you go, and I was particularly touched by, I noticed the flag was turned to the admiral, because there's an admiral at the Ableton. Whenever I came by, he smiled and sort of half nodded. And I thought, oh, God, this is this. So after we were having socializing, after the parade, I said, you must tell me, how do I know you? He said, you recruited me. I said, marvelous. And I said, I hope there you go. He said, no. He said, now be careful, because I was sort of, you know, on the edge of the Navy. He said, you didn't tell me anything that turned out to be untrue. Literally, he said, the career prospects I thought were excellent. I knew all along that I had steps by the Navy that I wanted to be a Navy officer. Although I did use the university career legal system to get in. I said, well, that's marvelous. Very good recruiting point, sir. So he said, I know. So that was marvelous for me to meet this chap many years later. And I talked to lots of the other officers. And they all I thought higher grades. When I was a young pilot, the war was on, honestly. You could do no wrong. Which was a pity. When the war was on, I was still under influence of Zalani's daddy, who I saw occasionally in London, and also another admiral that became a distinguished admiral was Sir Guy Thayer, who had the covering force for the Sinners Air Raid. And he was a very good advisor to me, particularly when I arrived in the Admiralty, because I got lost there a bit. So I always had these mentors, not tall mentors, but mentors, around the corner. And Ashmore has written a book, which I've got to get hold of, in which he points very carefully the importance of officers and captains in particular learning from their non-commissioned officers or petty officers and chief petty. If you don't succeed with them, you're not going to succeed in your...
Yes.
I always had that in the back of my mind.
Yes.
And as far as I can see, it's just I haven't met many ratings recently, but a lot of them remember me being drafting commander when I go to social occasions, naval occasions. And I think they're very, very, very good indeed. Not just good or pretty good, but very, very good. But I don't go on ships very often. And there are not many around here.
No. Well, John, look, thank you very, very much indeed for devoting so much time over these two long sessions to contributing to the Imperial War Museum. On behalf of the museum, I would just like to say thank you very, very much indeed.
Very much. Well, it's very kind of you. I feel I'm much enhanced by you bothering to come here. So I'll tell Edward that.